In today's episode, LEGO Star Wars is back with pieces of the past, new villain, wild mashups, and surprises from across the galaxy. Let's break it all down and then build it back up again on the Hoth Hangout Podcast. Welcome back to the Hoth Hangout Podcast, where the banter is cooler than a Wampa's hug.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Joey.
And we're here to break down all things Star Wars, the movies, the shows, and beyond. And maybe even a few hot takes along the way from our icy corner of the Outer Rim.
Whether you're here for deep dives into the saga, theories from a galaxy far, far away, or just to hang out with fellow rebels and scoundrels, you found the right cantina table.
So grab your lightsaber, park your X-Wing, and get ready.
Because this is the Hoth Hangout Podcast.
As a quick reminder, if you're not subscribed to the Hoth Hangout Podcast on YouTube, check us out there and subscribe for the video version of every podcast, as well as our reactions to the latest Star Wars shows.
You can contact us via email at hothhangout@gmail.com with your Star Wars thoughts or questions.
You can find the Hoth Hangout Podcast anywhere you get your podcasts, including both Apple and Spotify. Additionally, please consider leaving a 5-star review, as it does allow others that love Star Wars to more easily discover the podcast as well.
Connect with us on Instagram, TikTok, or X at Hoth Hangout on each of those platforms, or in the Hoth Hangout community Discord server.
Lastly, you can watch the live stream of the episode on either YouTube or Twitch at Hoth Hangout on each of those platforms.
Now let's jump into today's episode.
Welcome in to the newest episode of the Hoth Hangout Podcast. Glad to have you here joining us for episode 122. We're talking all things LEGO Star Wars, Rebuild the Galaxy, Pieces of the Past, breaking down our thoughts to the four most recent episodes of the show that just came out last week. We thoroughly enjoyed them, and our reactions are available to them here on the Hoth Hangout YouTube channel. Definitely check those out. Before we get into the discussion and conversation today, how are you doing, Joey? What's going on?
Pretty good. You're making me look bad. You're standing at your standing desk being all healthy, and I'm like a slob with my Celsius here, just drinking away. But no, I'm doing pretty good. I'm excited about this episode because we really enjoyed anything LEGO Star Wars. I mean, obviously, just LEGOs in general are very... something that I collect, I build, so it's a lot of fun, and we've seen how good LEGO Star Wars has been, so I'm excited to get into it and talk about it.
Definitely, yeah. We're going to be picking out a lot of the fun, more humorous parts of the episodes, in addition to just kind of our overall thoughts on what we thought of the second season, I guess if we're calling that. Technically not a second season of the show, but kind of effectively functioned that way. Definitely enjoyed Pieces of the Past, arguably just as much, if not even more, than the first Rebuild the Galaxy that we got last year. And hope those of you who've had a chance to watch it enjoyed it as well. If you haven't had a chance to watch it, definitely go watch it, then come back and listen to this one. But before we get into some of our conversation about Rebuild the Galaxy, Pieces of the Past, we do have a couple other things in the world of Star Wars we wanted to talk about. It has been a barrage of new... trailers given to us here in the last week or so. In addition to getting, you know, Pieces of the Past that we had the chance to watch, we also got a new trailer, I believe the first full trailer for The Mandalorian and Grogu, which comes out next year. Our reaction for that, as well as our reaction to the Visions Season 3 trailer, is also available on the Hoth Hangout YouTube channel. Joey, initial thoughts. I know we talked about this a little bit in our reaction to the Mando and Grogu trailer. Initial thoughts in terms of excitement levels for this movie that comes out May 22nd of 2026.
I think it's a nice little reminder that we've got a Star Wars movie coming up within the next year. So I appreciate that. But the trailer didn't really show that much. It showed Sigourney Weaver. It showed Zeb. So it did show some things that we were excited about, but as far as storyline, I still think that we don't quite sure know where we're going to be, what we're going to be doing. A lot of action, though, so it was a lot of fun to watch. And I think this is exactly kind of what you need, you know, I guess it's a little like, what, maybe 9 months out at this point, that we this is what you want to see. Just, you know, we want to see some progress. We want to see something that'll get us excited, because how long has it been since the last Star Wars movie? You know, it's been a minute.
6 years. Yeah, I think 6 years. Yeah.
So I'm hoping that I'm cautiously optimistic that we're going to be good. We're going to have a fun experience here with the Mandalorian Grogu, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah, I think cautious optimism is a good way of going about it. I think people probably are feeling that way mostly because of, well, partially because of the reception of some of the more recent Star Wars movies, especially Episode 9. But then also in part just the reception of Season 3 of Mandalorian, which was not as well received as Seasons 1 and 2 were. So will Mando and Grogu kind of pick back up some of the momentum in terms of what Star Wars movies, the fans hope Star Wars movies would be? Or will it be kind of more of what Mando Season 3 was? That remains to be seen. And really, the other big question is, how will it all tie together, the Filoni-verse, I guess, as we're calling it now, you know, the Ahsoka characters and Mandalorian characters, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, it's still, I think, what would that be, 3 plus 8 months away? So it'll be here before we know it. And maybe we'll do a, I don't know, an instant reaction or something like that when it comes out. But plenty of time to preview and probably get like 8 more trailers before we actually see that movie. Wait. In May.
Oh, so we weren't planning on doing like a Discord like night on at our respective theaters in our hometowns?
Yeah. We're actually gonna stream the movie from Discord. No, that would be illegal.
Yeah, we are just kidding, Lucasfilms.
Yeah. Do not copyright us. But yeah, I'm definitely pretty pumped for that to come out. Cautious optimism, though. I think that's a sentiment a lot of Star Wars fans can find themselves feeling when it comes to this movie. So that's the first trailer that we got this past week. And then the other one, which we got even more recently, I had woken up that morning and yeah, I looked at my phone and I had a message from you and it was like, hey, the Vision Season 3 trailer dropped. I was like, oh my gosh, we're just getting more and more stuff. So we do have a reaction to that available on the Hoth Hangout YouTube channel as well. And man, I am pretty excited for this. I think it'd be fair to say that you and I are likely more excited for this than the average Star Wars fan. I think Visions is something that we've both really enjoyed, both volumes 1 and 2. And then kind of a new ingredient to volume 3 of Visions is that they're actually going back to previous episodes, I think all from volume 1, and they're making these new episodes, some of the new episodes from volume 3 are extensions of the stories from volume 1, which is, you know, kind of a unique element. And I don't know if this was confirmed or not. Maybe you know this, Joey. I thought originally I had heard a rumor that maybe the Ninth Jedi episode was eventually even going to be turned into a movie as well. Yeah, I don't know.
I believe it's supposed to be like have its own thing outside of the volume 3. At least that's what I thought I remember too. I don't know. Yeah. I feel like my memory as time goes on, Ben, my memory just kind of slips away. So it could have been a fever dream. It could have been, but I swear that there was something with Ninth Jedi. There was a big announcement at the last celebration about it having its own show, its own movie, its own something. In addition, that's what I just assumed it was, in addition to a season 3 of Visions. So I guess we'll find out.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I recall that as well. So what do they call that? Like if a bunch of people
Mandela
remember
effect.
The. Yeah,
Mandela
yeah, or
effect,
like
yeah.
group psychosis or something, like everyone's experiencing the same like thing that maybe didn't actually happen, but we're pretty sure it did. So I think we're sane, Joey.
Yeah. We don't work for Lucasfilms or Disney, so we just kind of randomly remember things. As much as people think maybe we are shills sometimes, but we're not.
Shout out to that one commenter from like a year and a half ago that I know you're referencing right now.
That's exactly who I was talking about. Yep.
Yeah. But Vision Season 3, if you don't actually know what this is or you haven't seen Volumes 1 and 2, it's basically a bunch of different animation studios all from across the globe coming together. Well, not really together. In the form of the show it is, but they work on these episodes separately. They're separate storylines. None of the episodes within the volume have anything, you know, connected to one another, really. And then they sort of just put their own spin on Star Wars in the anime genre. So the great thing about this is, similar to Pieces of the Past that we'll be talking about today, it doesn't operate within the same like system of canon and lore that Star Wars fans are often feeling frustrated with, or feeling like the lore is being made into something it shouldn't be, or like this is one of those shows that doesn't have to worry about that issue, because it's just teams of creatives who enjoy Star Wars putting their own spin on it, and we enjoy it for what it is. And for people like myself and others who really enjoy this genre of I was going to say filmmaking, but of show making, I guess. It's something that I'm always looking forward to, especially that one episode in the trailer. This one right here, if you're watching the video version, where the Twi'lek Sith like puts out a little wrist thing and it's like 10 lightsabers attached to it. I'm like, all the things spinning they can around. Come up with. Yeah, all the things they can come up with in anime is just like, wow, that's pretty cool. So this comes out in less than a month, or exactly a month, is it? At the time of this recording, exactly a month from today, on October 29th, 2025. So hoping to watch those, and those reactions will be available on the Hoth Hangout YouTube channel as well. So if you're a fan of Volumes 1 and 2 of Visions, or if you've never seen before, definitely give them a shot. They're each like 10 to 12 minute episodes, and you can probably watch the whole volume in like less than an hour and a half if you really wanted to. So coming to Disney Plus near you in 30 days time. Be on the lookout for that. And having said that, again, we got two great trailers this week, but we also had the opportunity to watch Lego Star Wars Rebuild the Galaxy, Pieces of the Past. And going into the show, it was maybe, I mean, the trailer gave us a good idea, but a little bit uncertain as to what exactly the story was going to be. We knew Solitus was going to be the big bad guy, and we didn't exactly know what his motives were going to be. And but you got the sense that the story more or less is about Sig trying to kind of go up against Solitus, who, again, is the big bad guy of this season. A big part of the Solitus story was Jedi Bob, who is one of my more beloved characters from Rebuild the Galaxy and Rebuild the Galaxy Pieces of the Past, played by Bobby Monahan from SNL, if I'm not mistaken, had several, I think more than one stint on SNL. And so Jedi Bob, we learn, I believe in the second episode, is it the first or the second episode of the show?
I think like second. Right at the end of the first, maybe, and then into
yeah,
the
maybe
second.
It is the end of the first.
Yeah, the second is the beginning. This is like the storyline that we get in the beginning of the second.
Right, yeah, we learn that he's the apprentice of, a former apprentice, I guess I should say, of Solitus, and is really responsible for, like, pushing him into the Force hold, which plays a pretty significant role in the plot of the second season. Before I get too ahead of myself in terms of plot, was there anything going into the show in terms of expectations that you had that you felt like were either fulfilled or maybe perhaps not fulfilled with what you got the chance to see?
I think the storyline with Solitus and Jedi Bob, we should have probably seen that coming. I don't know why I didn't. it feels like that, you know, that seems like that was an easy thing that we should have like gotten early on. We never did do like a predictions type of episode, or you know, talk about predictions as part of, you know, our last you know, preview episode. But yeah, that probably should have been one of them. So when that happened, I was like, oh yeah, come on, we should have easily gotten that one. You know, we did see a couple of the other Star Wars legacy players. You see Lando, you see Ahsoka, and some others. So I think what I really wanted to see was the flip side of some of those characters. You know, we saw, we ended up seeing someone like Obi-Wan kind of being on the dark side. But we did still see Ahsoka on the light side. So I will admit, I would have liked to have seen a dark Ahsoka. I think that's probably one of something that I feel like they would have been just a really cool thing. But Ahsoka sometimes feels like the untouchable, if you will. You cannot, like, make her bad. You can't do anything. It's like those no trade clauses in the NBA. Like, you're not allowed to trade them unless they're allowed the trade to go through. I feel Ahsoka has that on her contract. So I think so. Yeah. But other than that, it was, you know, it was great. We got to meet Jackson a little bit. I didn't know much about him. And, you know, so it flipped things on its head a little bit. And it was just kind of it's a fun thing to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Ahsoka kind of occupies the space of, well, I mean, same as Luke. Kind of being someone who's different in some way, but ultimately still fighting for the same side. Which, by the way, we'll talk about that at some point in this episode. Luke had several lines that just felt like, and Luke is played by Mark Hamill. I'll add, if for those that don't know, in the show, he's also voiced by Mark Hamill. He had several shots, several lines that were just like, I felt like they were poking right at The Last Jedi, and I was like, oh. Oh, yeah, and Jedi Bob.
Mark, like, he's my buddy. Mark Hamill actually, I believe, is on record for not completely agreeing with the direction of, like, Luke Skywalker in that movie too. So I'm sure it felt good for him, a little vindication for him to be able to say those lines as Luke.
Yeah, yeah. And even what was the Jedi Bob line where he's like, oh, he says, I'm going to meditate. If you find a pile of clothes in the morning. Yeah. It means I've become one with the Force. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So many, like, funny things like that that they inserted into the season two that made it, I would argue, more poking fun at itself than season one did, I think, even.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they do it in a way that's not demeaning, but also clever at the same time. So,
mm-hmm.
So to kind of touch back on the Jedi Bob and Solitus piece, as we welcome in Star Wars Sublight into the chat and the YouTube stream. Enjoyed Rebuild the Galaxy Season 2 more than the first. Jackson kind of disappeared, though. Yeah, he didn't have as much of a role in the, like, once he got stuck in the Force hold, wasn't it? It was kind of like, mm-hmm. we're just like, oh, he's doing his thing in there while we're back in the real world. And that was actually, to bring up the Force hold, that kind of, like, is a good transition into my next thought that I had about the Force hold. Let me just ask you, what did you think about the Force hold generally, and then I had a thought about how it was used as a plot device.
So I thought it was, going into the episode, we saw a little bit of, in the trailer, they mentioned the Force hold, or I forgot if they actually mentioned the Force hold, I think they did. But we saw it basically sucked up planets, you know, we find out you could, you know, use it. You know, Saltus used it for, you know, getting rid of some enemies. And I thought it was pretty scary kind of going into the series. And I think, and you and I have both talked about a little, you know, during the reaction, how, wow, it's pretty easy to get in and out of this this Force hold, because it's not really doing much for,
yeah.
You know, like, it's you just need the power of love or something. I don't know. It just felt too easy to, like, get out of it. And where it could have been, like, really, you know, I guess if you're using a plot device like this, you want it to be, like, real permanent. And maybe because it was only a 4-episode series, it's hard to really do something like that, because you'd want somebody in there for, like, a whole, like, episode. You know what I mean? Because I think of, like, this, like, it could have been something like the Path Between Worlds. What is it called? That the World Between Worlds?
Oh, the World Between Worlds, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It could have been something just like that. And I wonder if there was, they pulled a little bit of inspiration from that. But, yeah, I mean, it seemed, like, real scary, and, like, everyone was in this kind of alternate universe. But then only to just be like, oh, don't worry about it. We can get back.
Yeah, it felt like every time we were in the Force hold, it was like we were supposed to feel like it was dooming, and then it was like, oh, 10 minutes later, we're back in the real world. I guess everything is fine. Mm-hmm. The actual, like, cast of, I would almost compare it to, like, the Lost Boys in Peter Pan. Like, it felt like everyone in the Force hold was just, like, this, like, band of people who just kind of had to come together because they were ended up there in some way. But yeah, the Force hold as a plot device, I think, was, I guess, limited in some ways, because, like you said, it was just the four episodes, and you can only do so much in that much time. So,
and it's Lego too. I mean, you can, you know, we don't have to think about it too hard. You know, I think for what the medium is, I think it was fine.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there were certainly, we've already kind of alluded to one of them with the Luke's death piece, but in Rebuild the Galaxy Pieces of the Past, there was also lots of alluding to other pieces of Star Wars canon, usually in ways that was like made to poke fun at. One that we've already mentioned was about, you know, Jedi Bob saying, "Oh, I'm going to meditate. If you just find a pile of clothes in the morning, it means I become one with the Force. Otherwise, I'll see you at breakfast."
Right.
Should I shift towards talking about the dyad piece next? Because that was definitely... Yeah.
I feel like that needs to be talked about. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because when we were watching the episode, I think I even said... I don't know if I said the word dyad or not, but I thought mm-hmm. that's what they were going for. Like they both needed to be doing the same thing at the same time. And then they actually used the word dyad. And I was like, they did not just do that, did they?
Right. And
yeah,
I don't know, the word dyad just has a whole lot of meaning now within Star Wars. Whether you like it or hate it, it's a very divisive term, I think, now in Star Wars. So for Lego to say, you know what, we're just going to jump in and integrate this in, or, you know, put this into our Lego series here, you know, and they even went as far as like went towards the end of the an episode four. They said it was going to be a myriad because that means many or whatever, because they needed all of the Force users to close up that Force hold. So I think it's obviously this is referring to. In the sequel trilogy with Rey and Kylo being a dyad and what that meant. And they were able to do things like transfer things through time and space. As that, they were able to see each other across the universe, like it's a FaceTime call. And so there was a lot of, tongue in cheek in there, I think, when they decided to introduce this into Lego, because they knew it was something that, you know, a population of the fandom liked and the population of it didn't.
Yeah. And I think, I think they do a good job of towing that line, not being insulting, mm-hmm. but being able right. to recognize the section of the fandom who has issues with things in the sequel trilogy and being able to say, look, sequel fans, we're making fun of it too, in a way mm-hmm. that I think tries not to disparage at the same time. So, the dyad was definitely one. Another one was another Last Jedi reference to Snoke, talking mm-hmm. about the Snoke pit rather than the Sarlacc pit, which was another pretty funny moment. And then that was the other Mark Hamill line that we kind of alluded to just a moment ago too, where he said, "But who's Snoke?" And Padme says, "It doesn't even really matter."
That's a jab. They're not pulling punches on that one.
I was going to say the same thing. I feel like this is more of a jab than the I'm going to go meditate and I might just become one with the forces. Right. This feels like a direct jab at like the storytelling. Like Luke becoming one with the Force is a choice, obviously, that they made. Snoke not mattering was just like poor direction across the whole secret mm-hmm. sequel trilogy, and so that's why this does feel like more of a jab. But it was so funny just to see all the little Snoke clones like climbing out of the pit.
equally as like terrifying to see that coming out of the pit, if I'm being honest too.
Yeah, as the Sarlacc. So here's the question: mm-hmm. if you're in the Sarlacc pit, you know how it takes like 1,000 years to be digested or something. Mm-hmm. What happens if you fall in the Snoke pit? What happens to you? Any hypotheses?
I think you probably get cloned 1,000 times, right? I think that's what happens. And maybe like every time your spirit or your Force is split, it hurts more and more. I don't know. It's like a Horcrux.
Yeah, I was going to say Harry Potter. Horcrux. Yeah. Man, it's always a good...
I mix the fandoms.
It's always a good episode when we can sneak in a Harry Potter reference in there too. Shout out to my wife, who's a big Harry Potter fan.
There you go.
And then another one, which was also one of my favorite moments of the episodes. We got what, like two episodes in? I think it was in the third episode when, or maybe it was the end of the second, when we see Darth Jar Jar again. And this time he's got the spider legs, which is obviously a reference to when they brought Maul back in the Clone Wars. And, you know, he's actually almost portrayed at the end of Pieces of the Past, at the end of episode four, as kind of a good guy at the same time for a second. He's like, should we really be fighting? You know, why is a Weeza fighting or whatever he says.
Right.
And I don't know, just the continued inclusion of Darth Jar Jar is one that I was hopeful for and didn't get a lot of promotional images for. So when he actually made an appearance with the spider legs, I was like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. I love that.
Yeah, I mean, as much as Jar Jar didn't get much love during the actual prequel trilogy, boy, is he eating good now. Like, with everything from, like, the Darth Jar Jar, you know, I mean, even back when there was, like, the whole, like, conspiracy theory that he was, like, the one behind it all, you know, just from there.
Yeah.
And then the kind of the reemersion of Ahmed Best, who also voices Jar Jar here. Because, you know, he had gone through a lot, and we've mentioned this before, you know, during their prequel trilogy and its run, you know, he had got a lot of hate for that as well. So he, you know, he was in very dark space. But to come back, you know, decades later, reprise this role, he has, you know, he has his own, he's a Jedi now in some series. What was it? Killeran Beck, I think, or something like that. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. just to have him around, I think Star Wars is better with Ahmed Best around, and I'm happy that he continues to just like other actors like Hayden Christensen. Obviously, you know, he had some negative press also during the prequel trilogy and all that, and to have him around, I think, you know, although maybe those characters, you know, maybe could have been written better or whatever during their time, their actual during the prequel trilogy, it is nice to have them continuing to be part of the Star Wars family and being, you know, part of something as serious as like an Obi-Wan Kenobi series or as silly as the Lego Star Wars.
Yeah. And this is just another one of the great Easter eggs that we got. And whether it's Darth Jar Jar, you know, Sith Obi-Wan, these are just some of the Easter eggs and spoilers. And at the end of today's episode, Gibbo's going to be sharing some of the ones that we missed. Side point, the Darth Revan inclusion. That was pretty cool.
Oh, yes, that's true.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure that's on there, too.
Yeah, definitely. Well, before we talk about some of our favorite characters from Pieces of the Past, I thought maybe we can sort of work toward concluding our overall review of the show itself. Mm-hmm. Do you think it was done well from beginning to end in terms of its storytelling? And when you compare it to season one, how do you feel about it? And then maybe this is too many questions rolled in one, but do you think there will be a season three of
right.
of Rebuild the Galaxy?
I'll work backwards, right? Season okay. three, yeah. I think they do it, or, you know, a third iteration of this. What they need to do is somehow shorten this title because it is getting longer and longer. every time I've typed it in our notes, I'm like, this is so long. Lego, Star Wars, Rebuild the Galaxy, Pieces of the Past, Part Dua. You know, like, it's just going to be the longest title. And maybe that's the meme. Maybe they'll just continue adding on to it. That would also be funny. But oh my gosh, this is getting like way too long of a title. Anyway, but season three, or, you know, the third iteration, I believe you got to greenlight it. I feel like this is an easy thing to just continue, have fun with. And where Visions can do it from a more serious standpoint, some of the storylines that, you know, that it goes through, this can be just more of the fun side. I know that there are other Lego Star Wars shows. You know, I think about, like, there's like a Christmas one, there's a Halloween one. You know, there's this now. So, and there's Freemakers. I don't think we've ever watched Freemakers. Maybe that's something we should do. I've heard that's pretty good. With all of that, I think, you know, I feel like season three is a hit. What about you? What do you think about of a season three?
Oh, I would definitely be down for a season three. I mean, What would your subtitle be? Lego Star Wars, Rebuild the Galaxy, Pieces of the Past, The Final Countdown.
Yeah.
Just tack on another one onto the end.
No, Pieces of the Past, Back to the Future.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, they're riding around in a DeLorean or something.
Yeah, somehow Michael J. Fox is in there. That would be an inclusion yeah. there. So, yeah, season three, I would say yes. As far as the comparison to season one and two, I mean, I think it ends up just being a good story, you know, kind of flowing through. Because we got the introduction of these brothers. I thought the cornerstone in the first season was really, really intriguing. Just everything, how it works, how the new galaxy looks at this point. But we didn't really change here in this one. You know, the name is Rebuild the Galaxy, right? So yeah. There was no real rebuilding here. You know, this was the same galaxy that they ended off at the end of first season. What would be interesting is if there was a way to, and I guess they were trying to fight more of the destruction of the galaxy, you know, because Salatus wanted to have his Thanos moment and just have peace and quiet, apparently. But I think season three would have to have a little bit more of trying to rebuild the galaxy again. You know, if you've got that name in there, there's got to be something that, because if they would have done like this every season, and I'd be interested in what you think about this, if every season they essentially rebuilt and reset, do you think that would have been an effective way to like go season by season? And it's just like a whole different thing every season. Would that be something that would be good, or do we need to have this continuity kind of like the conventional storytelling season by season and just go that way instead?
I would be more inclined to say that the continuity helps the quality of the show. And it's interesting because I think this show actually kind of does both of those things in some ways. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like silly and farcical enough that it like can do stuff like that where the continuity doesn't matter. It's like, oh, there's Jackson from the 1977 Marvel comic, and we're just going to throw him in there. Does it need to make sense? Not really, but he's there. And they can do things like that. They can say, oh, Darth Jar Jar has spider legs now. But in all seriousness, there's so many things about this show that are, you know, intended to be funny and humorous and enjoyable for that reason, which is what makes this show work well. But I think underneath all of that, and it's probably the thing that people don't recognize about Rebuild the Galaxy enough, is that it's the connection and the relationship between Sig and Dev, and kind of between Jedi Bob and Sig a little bit too, that makes the show heartfelt and sentimental and makes you care about the characters. Like, if it was all just funny and jokes and humorous, we wouldn't like Sig and we wouldn't care about, you know, Jedi Bob and Dev as much as we do if it was just all jokes. So that's a long way of saying I think the growing relationship between Sig and Dev and kind of seeing where they started, you know, the galaxy gets all mixed up, and then where they end in season one and then their journey in season two, having all of that allows us to connect with the characters in a way where the continuity, I think, actually betters the show. So I would be in favor of not a full reset each season, but, you know, having like whatever it means to have like a reset inside of the continuity of the show, where now we're getting like new characters introduced in every season. I'm for that, but I like the Sig Dev relationship. I think it makes the show even more watching, I would argue.
Right. Now, and as far as which I liked better, season one or season two, I think I like them pretty evenly, honestly, because of different things. The mm-hmm. first season, obviously, you're going to have to establish some guidelines. Who are the enemies? Who are the good guys? Who's our protagonist? Once all that is set, you know, I think they did a really good job in the first season. And I think the second season kind of just pulled through and continued with that story. You throw in an Ahsoka, you throw in Chewie, a deep cut like Jackson, and you know, you just keep rolling with it. So I think they've got something good rolling now into a season three. Because at the end of season two, we've still got all of those, you know, the dark side users, the Darth Rey, the Darth Rose, the Darth Nubs, and of course the Jar Jar. They're still running around the galaxy as kind of like this bad dark side unit, you know. So you would assume that that's who, you know, who the bad guys are going to be going forward. Now, how long they can kind of string that along, I don't know. Because Solitus really just came out of nowhere, you know, in this season. So to, it would be kind of cheesy if they did that again, just kind of randomly snapped and like, oh, there's another one really bad guy, you know. At some point, I believe you would have to have like someone like a Darth Jar Jar, Darth Rey to lead that group in some way. I would be curious into what the motivations would be towards that. You know, because it's just like bad for just being bad. You know, there has to be like, you know, because I know that there are like the Force Builders and then the Sith Breakers or whatever they are, right? So is it just because they're on different sides? That's just, you know, that's just what it's always going to be. I feel like there needs to be a little bit more story. But again, it's Lego. It doesn't have to be like too serious and into that. But that's how good this show has been, is that you want it to be more. You actually are okay if you push it a little bit further, because of how the story has been going in these first two seasons.
Yeah. I think in some ways they almost did a little bit of a disservice to some of the Sith Breaker characters in this season. Because Solitus was like so big and so strong and so evil that at the end it was like, well, all the other Sith just kind of feel like not as much of a threat anymore as they did in season one. I feel like it'd be hard to come back from that in season three a little bit if they are the main villains. Or they could pull a somehow Solitus return.
I feel that coming too.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, with how many memes they fit into the show in general, I would say that one of their top options for a volume three or a season three of Rebuild the Galaxy is somehow Solitus return for season three. But it'd be kind of funny if they actually do it. So, all in all, we both really enjoyed season one and season two. You said you kind of liked them equally. I'm sort of inclined to say the same thing. At least I'll say it this way. There's parts of both that I liked probably more than the other, but I loved both of them, and neither one stands out as being like far and away better than the other. I think they're both done really well. They're both clever. They both hit the funny notes in a way that, for Star Wars fans, is like, I see what you're doing there, and I appreciate that. So,
right,
I would probably agree that season two felt just as good as season one. And it sounds like earlier in the chat, Star Wars Sublight saying that they enjoyed season two even more than season one. So, I'd be curious to know from those of you listening and watching if that's like a widely held sentiment. If there's, one season of this show versus the other that is more beloved by fans or not. So that remains to be seen. Maybe that's we can do that on the YouTube community tab or something like that. But moving into sort of one of our last pieces of discussion for today's episode, we tend to kind of pick out our favorite characters whenever there's a new show that the two of us watch together. And we've both picked out a favorite character from the pieces of the past episodes, and would you like to go first, Joey, or would you like me to go first?
Yeah, I can go first. This one, I think this one was perfect addition because of what she did for not only for the show, but like for the characters of the show. So my choice was Pirate Queen Amidala. First of all, incredible name, Pirate Queen Amidala. I think is incredible. She ends up being the one that kind of brings that Skywalker family together again. And I think that's just so, so wholesome. And seeing them, you know, seeing her with Leia and, you know, she was kind of like, you know, she's a pirate queen. So she took them on the sail barge and was going to like have them executed in the Snoke pit, you know. So just that whole scene, of course, is Return of the Jedi, you know, base, so I loved it. But yeah, Pirate Queen Amidala, just seeing her and Darth Vader This is like the what if. Remember, you know, what if from Marvel?
Mm-hmm.
This is like the what if, you know, that, I mean, obviously this is, you know, that's what Rebuild the Galaxy is here, right? So what if Padme survived and Vader was good and Luke became a hippie? You know, the, you know, obviously it's a different route we would think of. But to have Pirate Queen Amidala, I think it was just such a great addition to see her kind of in that power, that power role once again. And, you know, just seeing that family together, I think that's what really ironic, you know, unironically actually got me in the heartstrings, like just seeing the four of them together, Luke, Leia, Padme, and Anakin, just kind of being a family, trying to protect each other, trying to get out of this together.
Yeah, those mom comments.
Yeah, right here, man. It got me right here. I'm telling you,
it is kind of like that, you know, the Marvel what if of like, it's funny because in this show they seem like they're the same age, but if this were to actually have happened in real life,
right,
you know, it'd be like, wait, that's not computing, that doesn't make sense. But yeah, she's a really good choice. And I guess a character that, I don't know, in a world where she did make it out of Revenge of the Sith, like, what would her role have been, you know, post Clone Wars? How would she have played into the rebellion? And what would Vader have thought about her role? You know, a Star Wars what if show, by the way, would be really cool if we ever get that. Until then, this is like,
for sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, YouTube, Star Wars YouTube is kind of like that already. Like, true, all the fan videos from the past 15 years that probably exist on the internet, like, you could probably get some really solid what if content on there from just all the fans in general. But,
well, and with Marvel what if, I'm gonna go off track just a little bit here. Marvel what if is kind of considered canon, right? Because isn't that like multiverse? And
right,
so
right.
that's actually a thing, right? They may not happen in like the main timeline. I forgot what they called it. God, there's so many TV shows in Marvel I cannot keep up. But I know like Thor's brother, what's his name?
Loki,
yeah, in the Loki show.
I think they talked a lot about sacred timeline.
Yeah, something like that, right? Yeah. Do we need to do a Marvel podcast now? Sorry. All right, Gibbo, get ready. Okay. well, that would be a heavy podcast, a Marvel one. Oh gosh. But yeah, the sacred timeline, you know. So if they had something like that in Star Wars, I mean, is world between worlds? Is that, are we saying that is something kind of what if-ish?
Yeah, I mean, it's arguably the closest canon thing to a what if in Star Wars that we have. I hope we get more info about the world between worlds in season 2 of Ahsoka. Not to get even more off track, but like I'm equally as excited and very nervous for season 2 of Ahsoka.
Oh gosh, yes. We need to talk about that pretty soon, I think.
Yeah. But to use that as a segue into my point for my favorite character in Pieces of the Past.
I wonder.
Yeah, yeah. I have a hard time not picking Solitus because I feel like he's such a big like presence in the show. So I kind of wanted to pick him, but I feel like because of how prominent he is and how much we probably, you know, at this point have already talked about him, I have to go with my tried and true favorite character, which is Ahsoka.
Man, I had no idea.
Yeah. Who saw it coming? I don't even know where that little Ahsoka is. It's around here somewhere. Oh, look at that. Next to Grogu right here.
Nice.
So played by Ashley Eckstein, you know, it's fun to see her get to return to Star Wars projects because she really is Ahsoka for a lot of fans, originally portraying her in the Clone Wars series. And interestingly, different than season 1 of this show, actually, they included, I believe they're called Brickheads. Is that right, Joey? I need some Lego fact checking.
I believe that's right, yes.
They included Brickheads for the first time in season 2, which, you know, for Lego fans like yourself, was a cool inclusion to get to see like different types of and styles of Lego included into the show. And so, but it wasn't just like a one-off, like, oh, let's turn Ahsoka into a Brickhead. They used it as a way of story, like a storytelling device. Like, she's the last one of her kind from her planet, and she's like stuck here in the Force hold. And so, it was a neat way to kind of say, you know, this character is fighting for kind of like her people in a way in this show. And Gibbo saying, and Rebel Team Brickheads at the end. Were there rebels at the end?
Yeah, Hera.
Oh, yes, of course.
They were all the same. They were all also Brickheads. So those were her people from her galaxy, yes.
Gosh, I forgot about that part. Yeah, that's a great point, bringing that up too. So she, not only that she kind of personifies this character who's the last of her kind, but in the end she sort of finds others who are like her. So there was like a story within a story, and then she always just provides, like, I think in most things she's in, a character that I feel like I can relate to. And outside of just me loving the character of Ahsoka, it was fun to get to see her in anything. So her role as sort of a friend to Sig and Dev and Jedi Bob, and being more or less like the leader of the people in the Force Hold, I enjoyed her role in this show. And again, getting to hear Ashley Eckstein voice her, and it was just, it all came together really well, I thought. And so aside from Solitus, I'd say probably Ahsoka was my favorite character from Pieces of the Past. And
I would have never guessed.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought about like pulling a deep one out just from like, I don't know, like Revan. I almost thought about putting on there, even though he doesn't have a single line. But having said that, I alluded to the fact earlier that Revan being an Easter egg is cool because it could potentially signal his future involvement in Star Wars. At this point, I think we're going to turn it over to Gibbo for a few minutes to let us in on some of the biggest Easter eggs that we may have missed.
Hi.
Hello, hey, hello, Gibbo.
Well, just one of my, just to start on, kind of an Easter egg, but not really, but one of my favorite characters was R2-D2.
R2-D2, the Buccaneer R2.
With his cannon, and yes, that was very cool. I like that. But you also talked about the silliness and the fantastic. And this one here probably was one of the most silliest shots in the whole thing. It was Jar Jar Biter carrying Jabba the Hutt, who was wielding lightsabers as well.
Oh, I did not even notice that. Jar Jar was actually carrying Jabba. Those are some strong spider legs right there.
That just sums up how stupid and fun that show can be. We also talked about, in the reaction side of things, we had the Day Sisters.
Mm-hmm.
With
the Day Sisters. With Asajj. Well, by the way, I almost chose Asajj, but for the same reason, Ben didn't choose Darth Revan. She kind of just like was there and just disappeared.
And she's riding a Rancor, wasn't she? If I remember correctly.
Yes, she was. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Dathomir looked very luscious and not dead.
Yeah.
Another fun, we got Darth Obi, you talked about before. Very cool.
Yeah, some Darth cool Obi-Wan
as well. And was it the same voice as his Clone Wars?
Yes, James Arnold Taylor, I believe, is his name. And I think at this scene here, when he gets sucked in by the Force Hold, I think he says bye there as opposed to the hello there.
Yeah.
Goodbye there.
Did you guys used to play the Lego video games at all?
Whether Absolutely.
It be Batman or all of the genres. You know, they had the little mini kits that you had to get, like 1 of 10, 2 of 10.
Uh-huh.
Every episode of this show had mini kits in it.
Did it really?
Oh, that's cool. That's a cool.
Wow.
Like, once again, the inclusion and the detail of, including like real, Lego gamers even. I mean, that's like the Venn diagram that gets smaller and smaller. Star Wars, Lego gamer, Lego Star Wars gamer, that's a very specific grouping. But oh wow, that's a great catch.
Yeah, I saw that. That was pretty cool. Also, Lando's ship was a mixture of two ships, the Naboo fighter of the Mandalorian and his Razor Crest.
And his Razor Crest, yeah. Oh wow, I thought it was just the Razor Crest. I didn't realize the
point
at
the back
outside.
And the two.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
It's on the side. Another favorite.
And
Sorry, go.
Yeah, and as far as like the ships in this series, we probably should have went through some of those that they created, and that was one of them. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Another fun mashup character was the Porgles.
Yeah.
Yes. We were trying to figure out the name of the actual ones. Remember that, Ben?
Yeah. We're like, if this one's a Porgle, what do they name them in Ahsoka? And it's like one letter different. It's a Porgle instead of a Porgle. Yeah.
And I found it fun how they did the tunnel with the Lego pieces as well in the background. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a lot of Lego builders trying to build that.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah. Maybe it'll end up in Australia again.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. A couple of little other characters on the side. This one I've only seen the movie once, so I wouldn't never have picked it up. But from Solo in the background there. Eophys Nest.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was such a quick one too, because it was like a quick scene. So yeah, I did see that on like watching one of the other videos, like reviewing this too. I had no idea she was in there, but yeah, Enfys Nest from Solo. And
a couple of other background shots where she have. We think that's Cara Dune, yeah.
I think so. Yeah, I think that's Cara Dune.
Inquisitor.
Right. I don't know who the one in the back next to Maul would be.
And then we think it's not really Kylo, it's probably Ben Solo in the background next to the
Inquisitor,
and
then Cal Kestis,
who had kind of a not small role in the Force world or Force hold.
You got a speaking role for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm not familiar with this guy, but Kyle Katarn was one of the characters from. I think it's Legends maybe or something that I heard someone talking about the guy there.
I didn't even know that's who that was.
Yeah. And then I think he's in the first one too, but Cad Bane, Jedi Cad Bane.
Oh, I forgot.
Jedi Cad Bane.
He's so covered up. I didn't even realize it was him again.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's just a couple of things I picked out.
Nice. By the way, Maul, the scene where he's singing the duel of the fates. We didn't even talk about that part. Yeah. Lots of good Easter eggs.
Yeah. And in this one, I'll see Yoda. You could see Yoda. He's actually like he's more of like a rebel officer almost.
Yeah, the rebellion. Yeah.
The rebellion officer and not so much like looking like a Jedi. But yeah, good stuff. Good finds. Yeah, there's so many minifigs and characters in here. It was almost difficult to like pause and look at everyone because
you'd
it was
have to sit
so
down
many.
For hours and try and work it out. But I know there was also
that's an IG unit back there too. Looks like
there was also in the pirate area. I heard talk of there was Phasma was there.
Captain Phasma, yeah.
And Andor, I think, was there too, right?
Andor, yeah. He actually was the one that got him in there, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Back to you guys.
Thanks, Gibbo. Thanks, Gibbo. I was reading one here that apparently Solitus's first name is Pab, which apparently in the Lego community stands for pick a brick.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Is it kind of like just like a custom, like, hey, just pick some bricks and then create something?
I guess. Yeah.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of fun.
That's what I love about like just communities in general. You have like your own vocabulary that only you would need to Google if you're, you know, some commoners like you or me, some casual Lego people that, you know, the full community actually knows all about.
Yeah. Yeah. And it picks from such a wide range and variety of different previous, you know, Star Wars related movies, shows, games, etc. That it tries to bring interests from lots of different people all into this one show, which is kind of a fun task in and of itself.
We also had the Greedo layer, but back again.
Which was one of the weirder parts for me. I'm just like, okay, yeah.
Right. Well, Greedo shot first then, right? He shot his shot first with Leia. That's what it is.
And in this world, Greedo shot first, I guess. Yeah, like that's exactly right. Well, overall, Lego Star Wars Rebuild the Galaxy, Pieces of the Past was a pretty fantastic show. If you're listening to this or watching and for some reason you haven't seen it yet, which this is the review episode, so I'm not 100% sure why, but maybe you just want to get the review and not watch the show. I don't know. But if you happen to fall in that group of people who hasn't seen the show and is listening to this, definitely check the show out. It's a fun one. You can literally watch the whole show in, I think, like an hour and 15 minutes really easily. And give it a shot. It's a fun one. I'm, again, hoping for a third season of this at some point, maybe next September, even as soon as then. So that does remain to be seen. Coming up in the world of Star Wars, really the only thing left in 2025, at least that's been announced, is Visions Season 3, which we talked about off the top of this episode. So, again, check out our reactions to the Visions Season 3 trailer and the Mandalorian and Grogu trailer. We'll put maybe both of those links to our reactions down in the description of this episode for those of you who are interested in checking it out. So we'll be back in 2 weeks' time with episode 123 of the Hoth Hangout podcast. And having said that, by the way, we didn't really announce this off the top of the episode, but we officially passed 500 subscribers on YouTube, which is
a
huge milestone. Yeah, yeah. So shout out to each and every single one of you who made that possible, who subscribed over on YouTube and watched the video content as well. So we appreciate you very much. And if you're not yet subscribed to us on YouTube, check us out there as we continue that climb up from 500 subscribers. Again, all of our reactions are available there, as well as every video version of each podcast. And you can contact us via email at hothhangout@gmail.com with your Star Wars thoughts, questions, and we'd love to showcase them on the podcast. Additionally, you can find the Hoth Hangout podcast wherever you get your pods, including both Apple and Spotify. And if you're listening on either of those platforms or any platform that allows you to leave a 5-star review, leave a 5-star review on the podcast. We'd appreciate it very much. And it also allows it to be more easily discovered by other people that love Star Wars as well. We're on the socials on Instagram, TikTok, and X at Hoth Hangout on each of those platforms, as well as live streaming each episode of the podcast to Twitch and YouTube. So at Hoth Hangout on those platforms, check us out there, as well as the link to the Hoth Hangout community Discord server, which you can find down in the show notes of today's episode. Joey, any last thoughts from LEGO Star Wars Rebuild the Galaxy, Pieces of the Past?
It was a good one. These last two seasons have been really exciting and fun and silly, and and it is able to make fun of itself, and just like any person should be. I think that we should all be silly. We should all be exciting and fun. We should all be able to make fun of ourselves at some point. And one thing that I thought of real late, I didn't even think about this until like this week, but did you realize that we have passed 3 years now on this podcast?
Yes.
I totally forgot. Normally we would like celebrate and stuff, but I think we're at that age now, Ben, that we're just like, yep, it's just our birthday. Not a big thing, but yeah, I think we've officially passed 3 years, I think on the 22nd of September. So just last week.
Yes, I know that is when the episode was, or excuse me, when the channel was made. Because our first, oh wow, you know, you're right. Our first episode was, how is that possible?
Three years, 122 episodes. Wow. Still going strong, the three of us. And so happy birthday, Hoth Hangout.
Nice. I'm reading the description of that very first episode. Enjoy the first episode of the Hoth Hangout podcast, where we discuss our thoughts and break down the first three episodes of the brand new Star Wars show Andor. Man, that was a while ago, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. My shoddy microphone, and yeah, it was a time.
Here we are 3 years later. Happy 3 years. Happy birthday to the Hoth Hangout podcast. Hope to do it for three and beyond more years. So thank you for those of you who have been a part of it along the way. Thank you to each and every single one of you who listens. And a special thank you, of course, to Gibbo for producing today's episode, who's the most important piece of the Hoth Hangout podcast. We are constantly rebuilding our galaxy, and Gibbo is the one who's putting those pieces together for us. So
That was nice.
Did you like that? Yeah. That was nicely done. appreciate you, Givo, for all that you do and for keeping Joey and I in order here. Even when we go out of order in the notes like I did in today's episode. So, shout out to you. And shout out to George Lucas. Shout out to Dave Filoni. Thanks to each and every single one of you for listening to today's episode. We appreciate you very much. We'll catch you all in 2 weeks' time. And looking forward to having you there for that one. And until then, thanks so much for listening once again. Catch you next time. May the Force be with you.